Visual field assessment is a common eye examination performed to enable us to map out a patient's visual field and determine the presence of any blind spots that might indicate a variety of eye diseases, as well as other conditions such as a brain tumor or stroke. There are many ways to perform the test, ranging from manual techniques to systematic automated perimetry, with each refinement attempting to improve the sensitivity of the test. Dr. Robert Cubbage is a senior lecturer in optometry at the School of Life and Health Sciences at Aston University, Birmingham, where he divides his time between teaching and conducting research on visual fields. Here, he talks through the different assessment techniques and the benefits and limitations of each with Richard Edwards.
Robert, can you give us a quick reminder about why visual fields form an integral part of a routine eye check?
Well, the primary reason that optometrists carry out visual field testing is as part of the screening triad of things for glaucoma. So in addition to examination of the optic nerve head and intraocular pressure, a visual field examination is carried out to examine for defects which might be due to early glaucoma. But we need to remember that the visual field test also will detect abnormalities in the visual pathway, and as such it can detect neurological defects.
And historically, what have been the real kind of limitations around visual field testing in a practice?
Well, things have changed probably dramatically over the past 10 years. So it's really technological innovations that have advanced visual field testing. In the early days, perimetry was carried out manually, bringing in targets and asking the patient to say when they saw that target. Consequently, it was very time-consuming, and the time-consuming nature of visual field testing really limited its use in optometric practice. In the 1970s and onwards, with the advent of computers, it then became possible to carry out supra-threshold testing, which dramatically speeded up the examination of the visual field. But supra-threshold testing is a screening methodology, which is fine from the optometrist context, where they're there to screen for the presence of a defect and refer on to an ophthalmologist. But the role of the optometrist has become more diagnostic in recent years. And as technology has improved, whereas supra-threshold testing was confined to an optometry practice, and more time-consuming four-threshold perimetry, which is a more accurate form of visual field testing, was carried out in the hospital context. Changes in technology in probably the last 5 to 10 years have meant that the speed of a four-threshold examination is vastly quicker than it used to be. And so there's now becoming an overlap in practice with supra-threshold and four-threshold techniques becoming more commonly done by optometrists.
We start to hear now terms such as short wavelength, automated perimetry. Could you tell us a little bit more about what those techniques are and what the advantages are when it's really kind of appropriate to use that kind of setup?
If you look at the two types of basic perimetry, you have kinetic perimetry where the target is moving, and you have static perimetry where the light is gradually increasing brightness, and the aim of that is to find the minimum brightness a patient can detect. So static perimetry is a more sensitive technique than kinetic perimetry at detecting glaucoma. But research in the 1980s, primarily by Quigley, showed that in cadaver eyes with glaucoma, there was significant retinal nerve fibre damage and ganglion cell damage occurring before a visual field defect was detectable using conventional techniques. And so there then became an interest in developing visual field testing technology which taps into specific processing streams in the visual pathway, because using a conventional stimulus in effect swamps out the effect of those systems, and those systems would be damaged earlier in the glaucomatous process than your ability to detect a white light. And so we started looking at stimuli that would be tuned to certain processing streams. And one of the earliest ones that was developed was short wavelength automated perimetry, which uses a blue light to examine the blue processing stream. And in order to inactivate the other processing streams, instead of a white background, we have a bright yellow background, which swamps out the effects of the red, green, and rod pathways. And when it was developed, it was shown in small-scale studies that glaucoma could be detected up to 5 years before it could be with conventional technology. Unfortunately, when it was scaled up to a larger population, it was evident that it's much more difficult to show that abnormality in a real population. And so, although it's useful as a technique, the problems associated with it in terms of the stimulus being absorbed by cataract, for instance, really make it impractical as a clinical tool, and it's really not used very much now other than in a research context.
I guess did it also then risk that the general visual function testing of visual fields, which as you said earlier, covers a whole range of conditions, I guess the risk with that is that it almost becomes too much about glaucoma and less about the other kind of conditions? Or
it was it was primarily developed for glaucoma testing, but it was also used in a variety of other diseases. It has been applied in neurological defects, and it has been applied in macular problems such as diabetes and macular degeneration. But it gives us an insight really into the mechanism of damage in the visual pathway. But to use it in a real clinical population where most of the people we would be interested in are elderly, that population usually has some form of yellowing in the lens. And so the dynamic range of the instrument is really not that high, and the advantage over conventional perimetry isn't that great.
And microperimetry?
Well, microperimetry has been again developed more recently due to changes in technology. And essentially, you can think of it as a fundus camera giving you a picture of the retina. And within that optical system, you can project stimuli. So you can project the stimuli onto the retina with much greater precision than you would be able to with a conventional perimeter. And the spatial resolution of those stimuli is much, much greater. So in a typical glaucoma examination, for instance, the stimuli are about 6 degrees apart. And with microperimetry, you can go to less than 1 degree apart. And so it's primarily advantageous when examining macular problems. And it's been applied, for instance, for people that have had surgery for macular degeneration or they've had Avastin treatment, and it's to monitor their visual function post-operatively.
Robert, could you explain to us about frequency doubling technology and how that is applied to visual field testing?
Well, frequency doubling technology was developed a short time after short wavelength automated perimetry, but under the same premise that if you examine a subset of the visual processing stream, damage to that processing stream will be detectable at an earlier stage than you would detect with conventional perimetry. And the pathway that's examined is the magnocellular pathway, but more specifically a subset of that pathway called the MY pathway. And that mediates an illusion, which is called the frequency doubling illusion. So essentially you have a grating, a series of black and white bars, and if you flicker them at greater than 15 hertz, the frequency of the bars appears to double, so you see twice as many bars as there actually are. So gratings are presented to the patient, giving the illusion, and the visual field test is around determining how well they can detect that illusion.
And there's a bit of profile in the press at the moment around a new pulsar technology being applied to visual field testing. Can you tell us a little bit about how that innovation would operate?
Well, pulsar is not dissimilar to frequency doubling in that it's examining the magnocellular pathway. It's in effect a form of flicker perimetry, and your ability to see flicker is mediated by the magnocellular pathway. And so in pulsar technology, there's a series of concentric rings of varying contrast, and they're flickering, and the perimeter is in effect measuring your flicker threshold as opposed to your light perception threshold. And again, as with frequency doubling technology, because it's testing that subset, it's able to detect glaucoma at an earlier stage than conventional perimetry would be able to do.
So if we tie all of this together, I guess, you know, how do you see all of these different techniques fitting together into our diagnostic tools as optometrists currently? What's kind of your sense of the state of the art at the moment?
Well, frequency doubling technology, pulsar technology, SWAP, they all show promise at detecting glaucoma at an early stage in conventional perimetry, but there are instances where You can examine patients with these techniques and show that there's no defect, and yet they have a defect with conventional perimetry, which is the opposite of what you might expect to happen. I view them really as an adjunct to conventional perimetry. Conventional perimetry is still used by ophthalmologists to monitor the disease, to govern whether treatments change, etc. It's still used to measure the visual field for driving, for instance. There are instances where you have high-risk patients that may have borderline pressures, borderline changes in the optic nerve head and normal visual fields. I would see the frequency doubling and pulsar and short wavelength perimetry as technologies which add to the information you've got and may help your diagnosis as to whether you think a patient has glaucoma. So they're really used as an additional technique rather than a substitute for conventional perimetry.
Looking to the future, how do you see visual field testing in the optometric practice developing over the coming years?
We've seen recent changes in full threshold perimetry, which typically used to take an hour to examine a patient with full threshold perimetry. But we now have more sophisticated ways of measuring the threshold. And on the Humphrey perimeter, it's a technology known as CETA. And more recently on the Henson perimeters, we have a similar technology called ZATA. And this uses probability to predict the threshold and as such can vastly speed up the examination. So it's possible now to do a full threshold examination in about 4 minutes per eye, which is comparable to supra-threshold testing that you would normally carry out, but gives you much more information and more accurate information than supra-threshold. So I would see a gradual change towards examination of patients with full threshold perimetry in practice. But also, the role of the optometrist is changing. We're taking part in more shared care schemes, in referral refinement. And many of these schemes for glaucoma examination require you to examine patients using full threshold technology. So the major change I think that will happen in the future is that we'll be carrying out less screening in terms of supra-threshold testing, and more quantitative visual field testing in terms of full threshold testing.
That brings me finally to my last question, which is around how do you see visual field testing developing outside the optometric practice, for instance online or remote screening or self-testing?
Well, there's been a foray of this into this area over a number of years. Dermato developed a sort of handheld visual field test that patients could carry out a number of years ago. The obvious thing is to say, well, we should be able to carry out visual field testing on a computer screen, and if we can carry it out on a computer screen, then you could do it at home, you could monitor yourself at home. The big difficulty with computer screens is the brightness range that they offer. So if you compare that, say, to a Henson or a Humphrey, the Henson and the Humphrey have a much greater brightness range than a screen would have, and that translates into how deep a defect you would be able to measure with a screen. And the second issue really derives with calibration. Something like pulsar technology, which is delivered via a screen, and FDT, which is delivered by a screen, that the stimulus is calibrated for brightness, and you would have to ensure that you had your screen calibrated. And that's not an easy thing to do currently.
Fantastic. Robert, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks, Robert and Richard.